8:55 p.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time, and Columbia and its affiliated stations present Elmer Davis and the news.
On this 21st day of the war, the talking was more important than the shooting, with the exception of the shots that killed Prime Minister Călinescu of Romania. President Roosevelt addressed Congress, convened in special session, and asked it to repeal the embargo provisions of the neutrality law, which he regarded as vitally dangerous to American neutrality, American security, and American peace. Premier Daladier of France, in a broadcast, accused the Germans of planning to dismember France as they have dismembered Poland, and devoted so much of his speech to combating assertions of German propaganda that France has been dragged in by England that the suspicion arises that this talk may possibly have had some effect. "We must be finished once and for all," he said, "with the reign of force." And Lord Halifax, the British foreign minister, told the House of Lords that it would be wise to hold our judgment in suspense about Russia. Mr. Roosevelt's speech failed to move the isolationist senators, 24 of whom met afterward and said that they would go on fighting repeal. They hoped to add at least 10 or 12 other senators to their group. Much of the president's speech was devoted to an ironic comparison of the prohibition of exports of implements of war in the present law and the legality of the export of raw materials and semi-finished products, which could be very useful to belligerents. If those who want to retain the embargo were consistent, he said, they would extend it to cut off cotton, copper, and wheat as well. But as some of you may have heard Mr. Kaltenborn reporting earlier this evening, Senator Nye is apparently the only isolationist who wants to go that far. "When and if the embargo is repealed," said Mr. Roosevelt, "the government will clearly and definitely insist that American citizens and American ships keep out of the zones of conflict, and will also reenact the cash and carry provisions. But from his language, this is apparently, so far as he is planning it, contingent on repeal." The president also said that while he hopes this special session of Congress will confine itself to these matters only, he has asked the leaders of both parties in both houses of Congress to stay in Washington until the regular session opens on January 3rd, promising to consult them frequently on foreign affairs and to reconvene Congress if it seems necessary. The president challenged the right of the isolationists to call themselves the peace bloc. "We all belong to that," he said. "The only question is as to ways and means." He said he believed we could succeed in our efforts not to be drawn into the war, and that all our policies must be guided by one single hard-headed thought: keep America out. But he warned that darker periods may lie ahead, and in closing said that the American republics are the joint heirs of European civilization and must maintain in the Western world a citadel where that civilization may be kept alive. The Romanian premier was assassinated by members of the Iron Guard, the Romanian fascist and anti-Semitic organization, which he has repressed with great severity. A considerable number of them seem to have been in the plot, for immediately afterward they seized the Bucharest radio station for a few minutes and apparently tried to give the call for a rebellion. General Argeșanu, commander of the Bucharest Army Corps, was appointed premier in Mr. Călinescu's place and began bringing more troops into the city. And apparently any uprising that may have been planned didn't come off. The Iron Guard has been sympathetic with the Germans, and the Romanian government, obviously wanting to keep out of trouble, immediately declared that the killing had no international political significance. The German shortwave broadcast tonight disagrees with that. It blames the killing on Polish and British agents who are said to have done it in the hope that it would be blamed on the Germans. This recalls the German assertion that the Athenia was sunk by a British submarine so that it would be blamed on the Germans. Călinescu, on the whole, had been friendly to the French and British, though in Romania's present situation, of course, neutrality is imperatively necessary, if possible. The story with still more interesting implications comes from Romania. Police searching the houses of Germans living near the Polish border are said to have found instructions as to what these Germans living in Romania should do when German troops had pushed through Poland and appeared on the frontier. But when Poland was overrun, it was not German but Russian troops that occupied the sections of Poland adjoining Romania. This is no particular consolation for the Romanians, who have reason to fear the Russians quite as much as the Germans, if not more so. But it does suggest the possibility that in this part of Poland, the Russian intervention may have gone a little farther than the Germans expected. No more has been heard today of the operations of the Russian Navy in the Baltic, but Warsaw still holds out against the Germans. Every night we report that, it comes a little nearer, looking like a miracle. On the Western Front, there has been little action, and Premier Daladier told his people today that the French High Command avoids every temptation to send its men forward recklessly to be slaughtered.
This is the Columbia Broadcasting System.